Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Monday training call, our Team Venus call. It sounds like we've got a lot of people on here tonight. A lot of people are really getting excited about these calls. James and I have been talking to a lot of you and calling you, and the people that we've talked to so far seem to be having a lot of really good success so far with the Team Venus. We've been getting a lot of homework assignments. I'd just like to encourage you one more time, if you have not sent us your 20 reasons, please make sure that you do that. We've got folders here. I've got everybody has got a folder with a name, and we're keeping track of this, and so we know who has sent the 20 reasons and who hasn't. So I really encourage you to do that if you haven't, you know, already sent those 20 reasons in. It's just so important for you to get down on paper your reasons why you want to do this. And we're going to be getting into that later on in our training as we continue with our training courses here. There's a reason why you have your 20 reasons, and it's important to have those and just know what they are, so that at any minute you can think, okay, why am I doing this? This is why I'm doing it, because these are the things that I want to accomplish within the next year. This is what we're working on so that we can all get into the top 30. Also, we're going to be giving out certificates to people that have completed their top 20 reasons. And also, you should be working on your master list by now, and we've received some of them. You need to get your master list to your upline manager, or to James and I, or both. To your upline, you can get it to your upline manager, and you can send us a copy of it as well. That's very important. Get working on your master list, and you'll see why as we go down the road with our training. You know, it may not, you know, you may not be able to really understand it now, but it's just so important. It's one of those basic things that you really need to do in this business. So once again, I encourage you to get your master list completed and get that to us. The homework assignments, the one for this week, I believe it's that'll be due. When's that due, James?
By next week.
Okay. So that's where we're at so far. I'd like to just quickly, before James gets started, we received a email here from someone this week. He said this particular person had enrolled in a self-development course a while back, before the Team Venus calls had started. He had already enrolled in a self-development course. And he sent us an email saying, and this is what his email said. It said, long before the inception of Zenith, I enrolled in a self-development course that I included most of last week. In fact, my plane arrived in time for me to tune in on the 8 p.m. session. I did not forget about EcoQuest during the week. I was identified as a dealer during lunch on the first day. My buddy was the clue. It developed that there were three of us at the table. The woman next to me wanted more information, so I sold her one, and we were working on fresh air. Two other people are interested and wanted catalogs, which I just happened to have with me. The list that I am enclosing has over 100 names after removing the duplicates. I have two other lists. I'm spending the long weekend mailing Laundry Pure brochures with my usual football schedules to all of them. You're on the list. So that's just another way, and I was talking to him about that last week, about how I was wearing my buddy at the trade show, and it's just such a, you know, it's definitely an attention getter. People are going to ask you about it, and that's a really good, you know, open door to talk to people about that. We received another one of the...
Jennifer, mm-hmm. Let me make a comment about that.
Okay.
That email that Jennifer just read was from Glenn Fraser, who's about 80 years old, and still taking self-development courses. Now that's, buddy, I gotta admire that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hope that when I'm 80 years old, I'll still be taking self-development courses.
Me too.
Okay, there's another homework here that we were looking at that was, it was pretty neat. And what this person says is, due to the few hints I heard last week on the call, I sat down with a local phone book, started with 42 names, and now I'm up to 110 names. I was already using the spiral notebook plan, highly recommended it. And she also wrote here, prospects are free, and they are everywhere we go. You've got to thank EcoQuest when you are out and about, and get out of your box and present yourself. They don't know about it unless you approach them. So that was just something else that we received. We got a lot of stuff. I can't go through it all, but I just wanted to share those couple with you tonight on the call.
Who was that one from?
You want me to say their name?
Yeah.
Pamela Doty.
But it's good. We want to say their names.
Oh. Okay. All right, are you ready to get started there, Mr. Clendenin?
Ready to go.
All right, go ahead. Take it away.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to week 4, September the 4th. And we've got a ton of stuff to cover, so I'm going to go pretty fast. Some of this is going to be really interesting to you. Some of it you're going to cringe when you hear it. Last week we covered the master list, and I sent you warm market scripts and letters. And what you do there is you pick one for the situation and that you're comfortable with, and then you practice and you practice and you practice some more. I would highly suggest that you role play with your sponsor or someone in your group or your family members. Okay, now I want to go back briefly to last week's recipe for Coca-Cola. I'm sure you all remember that. Now that you have the formula for Coca-Cola, wouldn't you contact the top names on your list and set up a time to sit down and show them the Coca-Cola opportunity? Well, of course you would. You know, and it really wouldn't matter what time of the day, where you decided to meet, what the setting was, or what you were wearing. The story would be so strong in your mind, and your enthusiasm would be so great about the Coca-Cola that you could tell the story anywhere. So why wait to get everything perfect? You know, sometimes we just get hung up on all the artificial things and these outside issues that we forget what's really important, and that's simply telling the story. The vision is what needs to be in the right place. That's one of the reasons we have emphasized over and over and over in your 20 reasons list. That is so vitally important. Okay, once you have the vision and the excitement, you'll have the big picture in your head. So what comes out your mouth is going to be the big picture. But as far as dress goes, just try to mimic your prospect. Dress how you think they'll dress so you'll feel comfortable, but don't ever let them outdress you. That's pretty important there. There's a saying that goes like this. People hear the music, they don't hear the words. If you maintain your energy and excitement, you'll have the music within you. When you have the music and the enthusiasm, the conviction and the vision, people will see that you're committed and they're going to, you know, they know that you believe in what you're doing. You know, don't be so crazy that you annoy people. Just have a controlled intensity and come across 100% committed. And if they don't see that, well, that's just too bad. You move on. Every time you show the business, you have a chance for 3 answers. The great thing about it is that 2 of the 3 possible answers are in your favor. The first answer could be, yes, I want in the business, at which point you'll be able to get the product at wholesale. The second answer could be, no, I don't want the business, but I would like the product, at which point they're going to get the product at retail. The third answer could be, I don't want the business and I don't want the product. You see, at least 2 of the 3 possible answers are to your advantage. What's also great is that while you are showing the business, you can be marketing the product at the same time. Somewhere in your presentation, you want to say something like this. Mr. Smith, if this isn't the right time in your life to participate in building a residual income, I'd really appreciate it if you'd at least become my customer. Is that fair enough? But if you say that sometime during your presentation, you will sell product. And you will also have people coming into the business later on in the line. All right, sharing this business with other people is merely telling a story. You're a storyteller, and your words are a tool of the business. They should describe and explain, they should excite and inspire, and they should move the prospect. The more you tell that story, the greater the chances are that some people are going to hear it, get the vision, and want to travel down the same road that you're going on. You know, you tell your people that you're a messenger. They're delivering a message of EcoQuest and a vision where the company and they are going. You have to understand the importance, but the real important issue here is the message, not the messenger. You need to work on getting the message right. So many people, they get hung up on the messenger end of it, and it's really the message that's the issue. When you invite someone to see our business, let me give you a tip. I'm a big believer in scripts. There are different strokes for different folks, and that's why you got so many of them. Again, just pick a couple and practice and practice and practice. And, you know, I believe the scripts, they'll give you a crutch in the beginning. They also will help you get the words right. Recently, I've been trying to stay away from the word meeting because it sounds kind of long and boring. It sounds like PTA, you know, PTA meeting. I'm trying to start using words like business briefing, you know, because it sounds brief. And one of my favorite lines that I use is run an idea past you, because that's very casual and it's comfortable when people think that you're going to run an idea by them. Here's another reason why scripts are so important. When someone is new and nervous, one of the biggest mistakes they make is they talk too much. And most people come into the business thinking they have to know all the answers before they can start building. Consequently, if they get on the phone and someone starts asking them questions, they feel a need to give them answers. Sometimes they'll give them answers when they don't even know the answers. You know, they feel on the hot spot. They don't want to say they don't know. Sometimes I just shake my head and my mouth drops open at all the things I learned from these conversations. When they get on the phone and they begin to make up answers, I've discovered things about EcoQuest I didn't even know. Then when they get off the phone, they're pulling their hair out saying, man, I'll never pick up that phone again. What if that person calls back? See, that's why scripts are important. You don't want a new person to have a bad experience. You want to have the right words and want them to control the conversation right from the very get-go. Most important will be their vision and their enthusiasm. We can always fix the words. I don't want them to make themselves the issue. If they feel as though they have to have all the answers, then that means they'll have to delay their start, and that becomes even more of an issue. Let me tell you something. When I got started in this business, if someone said no to me or asked me a question I didn't know, I thought it was my fault. I couldn't tell you how many times I walked away from the phone or that face-to-face meeting thinking that if I'd have said this differently or did that differently, the person would have said yes. That's called the if-onlys. If only I had worn a different suit, or if only I had shown the business in a fancier office, if only I had told them this or that, then they would have said yes. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Once I got all that right, some still said no and others still said yes. When you show this business, one of your main goals is to leave a good impression, and that's it. If they say yes or no, your answer will still be the same. Say something like, great. If they say no, I don't want to get involved, you say, great. You don't beat them up. You don't make faces at them. You don't tell them that they're stupid, although they might be, but you don't tell them that. You just say, great. Keep in mind, there are some people who, for very good reasons, can't get involved right now. It took me 2 years to get David and Wanda McBurney, who are now one of EcoQuest's key players. And when I originally contacted David, he was the CEO of a major company, and the timing just wasn't right. But I said two very important things to him that left him with a good impression. Basically, what I said was, I want to wish you the greatest success because I know you're really good at what you're doing. You have what it takes to be successful in EcoQuest. And if somewhere down the road things change, I want you to think about me because I'd love to work with you. And then add something like, in the meantime, if you run across anybody who's looking for an opportunity, I hope you tell them about me. I'd love to work with them. Now, what do you think David's feeling now? He's probably thinking something like, boy, he was really professional and he certainly was nice. I wouldn't hesitate to send anyone to see him because I know he wouldn't embarrass me and because he'd be nice and professional with them as he was with me. See, folks, by saying those two things, you won't believe how many referrals you're going to get. Okay, let's talk about how to make an EcoQuest presentation, or as some people call it, showing the plan. If I were sitting at your kitchen table, how would you rate yourself in ability to do a one-on-one presentation in order to sponsor me into EcoQuest? Now, rate yourself. Give yourself a number grade there, between 1 and 10. Okay. If you scored yourself less than 7, you need work. Simply put, practice makes perfect. But if you're practicing the wrong way, you will get good at bad things. Do you want that? Or worse yet, do you want your downline showing the plan wrong? If you're not great at showing the plan, you just simply need to practice. You practice in front of a mirror. Do what Jennifer did. Practice in front of dolls and your kids. If your sponsor's, if he's local and he's good at presentations, then follow him around and learn how to do the presentation. You know, learn their content and the rhythm and the style. Tape record a few of your upline's plans and do a practice presentation to them over a cup of coffee or something. See, once you get confidence, you also are going to need to tape record your presentations and get your upline to review your tapes. And see, once you can do a kick butt plan, tape record them and then give them to your new downline to study. Just study and practice. Make a tape of yourself and let your upline critique you. All right, right now at this very moment, a whole bunch of listeners are cringing. They're the ones who joined EcoQuest but don't want to talk to anyone. Believe it or not, there are thousands of people who think they're in EcoQuest who want to hide in their basements playing on the internet. They'll boast about how many people they signed up online. But guess what? It's a house of cards. What skill level do these web zombies possess? They can't speak on the phone. They have no confidence to speak in person. They can't train their group because they have no skill. Folks, for your bank account to change, you must change. For things to get better, you must get better. You must build new skills and new talents and levels of confidence. It's all a game being played out in your mind. All right, let's go on with the presentation. If you want to make really the big bucks in EcoQuest, you must become confident and competent at making a presentation. In the nearly 20 years that I've been in network marketing, I've never really seen a good business opportunity presentation done by anyone that works at the corporate office of an MLM company. Well, that is until Mike Jackson came along. Most every MLM company starts out by creating a presentation for its field reps, and usually it sucks, and that's because it contains a lot of useless information about how many square feet are in the manufacturing plant and how many bathrooms are in the headquarters and how many jars of cream they make per hour and the mother-in-law's occupation. It's terrible. I don't know, you know, there may be some good stuff to know, but it also has some useless stuff that the prospect could give a rat's hind end about. Folks, your presentation needs to be about an hour or so, and most importantly, it needs to be prospect-centered. It needs to be prospect-centered. Plant that in your mind, please. You need to understand that recruiting presentation, it's not about the company and it's not about selling a product. Check this out. I'm sitting at your kitchen table, stumble through the corporate presentation book. I see buildings I don't know, products I don't understand, people I could care less about, and confusing percentages and circles. It's pretty confusing, and yet at the end, you turn to me, your eyes are wide open, totally excited about the deal, and you say, "So are you in?" I pause for a second and I say, "Okay." You leap up from the table and you do one of those "I got one" dance around the kitchen. Question to you, why did I join? This question has haunted me for years. If I could figure out why someone joined after the world's worst presentation, then I could quantify the formula. You know, what goes on in the mind of a prospect? I'm pretty sure most people go numb within 4 to 7 minutes of a typical EcoQuest presentation. They hum and they haul their way along, but their eyes are usually defocused on the page and you can almost see the wheels turning inside their mind. Their optic nerve is registering the words and the images, but they're not consciously processing the input. How does that input get translated into them saying, "Yes, I'm in"? Well, here's what I believe, folks. I believe that everyone, you, me, your entire downline, the 1 million people who have joined EcoQuest over the past 20 years, I mean everyone, only joined the company for one reason. That reason is to solve a pressing need in their life. When the prospect's eyes defocus, there's a very important inner dialogue happening. See, the eyes are gathering input, the ears are gathering input, the intuitive senses are gathering input for the brain to interpret, translate, and then decide upon. It goes something like this. "Hi, brain, it's me, the gut, your intuition. What's happening?" "Well, gut, it's a bit confusing. This presenter's pretty excited and he's talking pretty fast. this information must be pretty important. Well, you can say that again, Brain. I overheard a bit of the ears, you know, what they were picking up. It's kind of confusing. I'll do my best to translate it, Gut. You get to work deciding if this information will help fix our leaky roof, our broken down old car, no promotion at work, maxed out visas, and an overall dissatisfaction with life. You got it, Brain. Keep processing those weird circles and that air pollution stuff info. By the way, this better not be one of them selling job, you know, door-to-door type things. I hate that stuff. Okie dokie, Gut. By the way, if this works and we get a new car, can it be a hot red Ferrari? See, folks, the Brain don't care about the owner of the company. Maybe a little. Does the Brain care about the years in business? Maybe a little. Does the Brain care about RCI technology? Maybe a little. But let's review. In order for someone to join your team, they must have a pressing need in their life. Their Brain must translate your presentation into solving that need. This is one of the reasons that I'm not using the company's creative material as is when doing a presentation anymore. In the company's view of the universe, everyone should join just because of how wonderful the products are. The prospect has his or her own agenda. Remember that. So the bottom line is, solve the need and you're going to increase your sign-up percentages. Your primary focus in your presentation then changes from trying to recruit them to trying to solve their needs. How do we effectively determine their needs? Well, I got to tell you, I had a heck of a tough time with this when I first started. I was so nervous I'd do a 25-minute presentation without even taking a single breath. You see, if I took a breath or paused, prospect might ask me a question that I didn't know the answer to, and I didn't want to appear stupid. Well, Bob Giddens taught me that was okay, that I shouldn't appear as a know-it-all expert. If someone asked me a question that I didn't know the answer to, I was to say, well, that's a fantastic question. Let me write that down and I'll ask my sponsor. He's really knowledgeable about the rate ozone dissipates 2 feet from the machine. He also knows the rate at which the calcium dissolves in the stomach acid. I don't know about that stuff. All I know is my house doesn't smell like an ashtray anymore and I lost 15 pounds with the enzyme diet. My energy level's through the roof and man, I feel great. Bottom line, folks, facts tell, stories sell. Once I learned to relax, presenting gradually became more fun. But then something else happened. A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. After about a year in the business, I was getting halfway decent at presenting and showing the plan. And you know, I was more relaxed and confident, and because I've been in the business a while, I learned a whole ton of stuff about health and how air and water are so important to good health. I also learned a lot more about network marketing, the economics of it, and so forth. And the more I learned, the longer my presentation became. Imagine how frustrated the new prospect was sitting through a two-hour marathon session from some guy babbling on about indoor air pollution and comparing binaries to breakaways to unilevels. Man, I shake my head just thinking about it. But guess what? When I used to do a quick, scared plan, people still joined. When I used to do a marathon technical plan, people still joined. Granted, my percentages were lower, but even in spite of the effort, some people's brains still decoded the input, and their gut told them that this business could solve their pressing needs. The Nike slogan was right. Just do it. One of the things I would do when I ran into an Amway distributor, where there's a lot of them down here in Melbourne, was to buy their old Aggie training tapes from them. Now, they were always happy to, you know, clean out their closets and make a few pennies on the dollar. One of the keys to the puzzle was in one of these old shoebox of baggy tapes. I don't know how you feel about driving thousands of miles a year to draw circles in the evening in the living rooms of near strangers 5 and 6 nights a week. I did it for a couple of years to get my business rolling. The Amway guys have been doing it for nearly 50 years. And, buddy, they are masters at presenting. And I kept hearing reference to this dream building portion of the presentation. I kept listening to their tapes, searching for those gold nuggets. You have to listen to a whole bunch of content to find out what you're looking for, but eventually I found some of it. Remember the 2 points I felt were critical for someone to join you? In order for someone to join your team, they must have a pressing need in their life. Their brain must translate your presentation in dissolving that need. Now, what would happen if you focused on point A and helped them to really reveal their pressing need? What if you uncovered their need and then focused your entire presentation like a laser on fulfilling that need? Do you think it would be, make it easier for their brain to accomplish point B, translating the presentation? What effect do you think that'd have on your sign-up ratio? Man, it took me a long time to finally get it, but, initially I was totally primitive and clumsy in my delivery, and I still am, but I'm working on it. My first attempt was to stare at them until they felt uncomfortable. Then I'd grab my pen and a piece of paper and I'd say something like, imagine you just won the lottery, $1 million. What would change in your life? Let me write that down. Oh man, the dirty looks I'd get. Usually they'd fold their arms and they'd glare at me and they'd lean back in their chairs and say, nothing would change. I'd stay exactly the same. You didn't need a degree in body language reading to understand their thoughts on this subject. Thoughts like, imagine the nerve of some people coming into my home and drilling me with personal questions. I don't care what he's selling. I'm not buying anything. It's taken me a long time, and I got a lot more practice to do in order to refine my presentation, but I know I'm getting better and much better at uncovering the needs of the prospect. I knew that if I could find a burning desire that was unfulfilled in their life, I would have an excellent chance to enroll them in my team. And I'm refining this one-on-one in these group presentations down to a simple, powerful system again that can easily be taught. And I'm going to teach this on recipe cards. Each new person in my team learns the 8 key points of the presentation by writing them down, one topic per card. Then they can write bullet points to remember on each card to support each topic. If it doesn't fit on the card, they can't say it in the presentation. So what it amounts to is that roughly 5 to 7 minutes per card, anyone can be in, say hello, show the presentation, and be out within an hour or so. And those 8 points are in your homework, the thing that I emailed to you a couple hours ago. All right, how to start that process. After you showed a plan to a prospect for the first time, I would estimate that they would not sign up about 75% of the time. In fact, most times you should not be closing them on the first look. I mean, think about this. Would you propose marriage after their first date? Now, don't answer that on the grounds it might incriminate yourself. Knowing that you aren't working towards a finish where they have to sign papers and pull out a Visa card or where an all-or-nothing type encounter may happen, it changes your attitude. You see, there's no pressure. You're there only for step one, to share an overview with that prospect. Again, now, this is all predicated on you building a local organization, and I believe that starting in your own backyard with lukewarm prospects and referrals is the most cost-effective way for the average person to begin building their network. If you want to hide in the basement on the web or run unproven ads and lick stamps and mail brochures, well, be my guest, but just don't come whining to me when you're struggling. Now, what do I mean by start the process? Well, marketing experts say it takes between 4 and 7 exposures for the average person to make a buying decision. So, statistically, you have the best chance of that person joining if you leave them, whet their appetite, and then feed them some more information. This is where, for the lack of a better name, the first night package comes in. Basically, a first night package is a set list of information that you leave with your prospect for 1 or 2 nights maximum. 1 or 2 nights maximum, all right? The goal of a preset first night package is that your entire downline can duplicate this model with a minimum of fuss and corruption. Imagine if everyone in your group all gave out the same package of information to a pre-qualified prospect. Man, it would make life so much easier. A good first night package is not too full of information to risk overwhelming the prospect, but it contains enough exciting content to motivate the prospect to take a closer look. And that's what you want, of course. I like to have the EquiQuest Recruiting CD DVD in a testimonial booklet, in a product testimonial DVD, and the Success Magazine. The Success Magazine, it's loaded with stories and credible, credibility-building third-party endorsements. What you're trying to do is address their 3 modes of learning: audio, visual, and reading. When you start this process, In effect, you're starting the training process. And you give a PowerPoint 101 presentation, study your first night package, and you pick it up and review the plan with them. This is the follow-up and the follow-through, which we'll go through here in a moment. Realize that after they study that first night package, you still aren't through. Many will not be ready to join yet. They may need to go to a larger event like a home business briefing or a business briefing at a restaurant or a hotel. And we'll discuss that later on too. Not tonight, but we will get to that. They may need a second night package with more industry-specific information on network marketing and on indoor air and water and body pollution and some how-to training exposure, like Zenith, for instance. The main thing to keep in mind is that recruiting is a courtship and a process, so just don't be in a hurry. Okay, let's talk about follow-up and follow-through. Here's the scenario. You contacted a name from your master list with specific purpose of sharing with them an exciting way to make some extra money. They have agreed to have you over for an hour. You did a fantastic presentation. You clearly uncovered some unfulfilled dreams, and they agreed that their current path in life could not meet those goals, and they agreed to study our EcoQuest opportunity in more detail. You left them a first night package for 48 hours, and you're on your way back to their house for the follow-up. Okay, how do you feel? Nervous? Excited? Panic-stricken? Flustered? Imagine how you would feel as you rang their doorbell. Okay, side note here. Can you understand why follow-up is such a disaster for so many EcoQuesters? The imagined fear of rejection is so strong, many would rather not even show up. The self-doubt is so severe, the brain actually takes self-protection action, like missing phone calls, skipping appointments. Man, the endless self-talk dialogue kicks in to protect you from that rejection, something that all of us despise. For many years, I'll tell you, I've maintained that you must work harder on yourself than any other aspect of your business. And it's been said more than once that EcoQuest is simply the world's greatest personal development machine disguised as a way of moving products. Folks, becoming effective at follow-up and follow-through is 100% essential for your mastery of this industry. Okay, back to the scenario. You ring the doorbell. Your prospect comes to the door. He had been expecting you, and you had booked the appointment. He opens the door, just a crack. He slides your first night package to you and mutters, "We talked it over, and we just don't think it is for us." Okay, what do you do? A, scream profanities at him and kick the door and leave a trail of squealing rubber in his driveway? B, let your lower lip quiver, then burst into tears and slink away, your tail between your legs? C, start an argument on his doorstep about how his job sucks? D, something else entirely? Okay, if you said A, scream profanities, you're right. Well, maybe not, but you're my kind of aggressive, take-no-prisoners networker. Actually, when I first started this industry, I was definitely a wimpy B. Then about 10 years of failure later, I became a definite A. I've had a few scraps over the comp plan over the years, but I don't want to encourage either behavior in you. The correct answer is D, something entirely different. Here's what I would do today. I'd shout through the crack, "Bob, I can appreciate you probably feel that you don't have the time nor the qualifications for this opportunity, but since I'm here anyway, would you like me to show you how I help people earn an extra $1,444 in the next 72 hours to 28 days? It only take about 8 minutes. Let me say that again and see if you like it. If you don't, there's always option A. Bob, I can appreciate you probably feel that you don't have the time nor the qualifications for this opportunity, but since I'm here anyhow, would you like me to show you how I help people earn an extra $1,444 in the next 72 hours to 28 days? It only take about 8 minutes. Now, what if that nightmare scenario doesn't happen? What if the prospect is somewhat decent? He sits down at the kitchen table. Now what? Well, here's what you do, and I'm telling you folks, this works like a champ. You say, "Bob, great news. I've been thinking about you all day. Where's your refrigerator?" Of course, you know where the fridge is at, but And you don't go in there and start making yourself a sandwich. You go in there, listen up now. You reach into your briefcase and you ask Bob for some Scotch tape. Now, what are you going to tape on Bob's refrigerator? If you did a good job in determining his needs during the dream building section of the presentation, you know that Bob has his heart set on a metallic blue BMW sports car. So today at lunch, you went to the BMW dealership in town and you picked up a brochure of the exact car that Bob dreams about. You prospected the car salesman and you told him you'd be back in a couple of weeks with a solid prospect for him. Now, what do you think goes through Bob's head when you tape a picture of his dream car on his refrigerator? Do you think his boss at work has ever done anything like that? Fat chance, right? You point at the picture and you make Bob promise to take you for a ride when he buys it, thanks to EcoQuest. You have reinforced the core need. You have immobilized his ability to create excuses and you have refueled the fire. Now you're ready to do some follow-up. And here's where I used to really fumble the ball. I'd sit down at the kitchen table and I'd say something like, "So, what questions do you have?" And poor old Bob and Mary, they didn't really have any great questions. So they just stare at each other nervously and they try to come up with some doozy of a question for me. Usually it's something disempowering like, "So, are your products expensive? Or are they all natural? Oh, geez. I want to talk about financial freedom and they're analyzing the price of our ionic toothbrush. You know, give me a break." Then I learned to lead the conversation. "Bob, Mary, I'm sure you have a ton of great questions like how the compensation plan works and how to get started and how to make a prospect list and how much time this is going to take. Would you like me to show you how I help people earn an extra $1,444 in the next 72 hours to 28 days? It'll only take about 8 minutes. Guess what the prospect says about 9 times out of 10? "Sure, that sounds great." Now, don't let that quantity of money scare you off. In our compensation plan, it's a simple, duplicatable way to help a new guy find his first 4 new EcoQuest business bonus and get them started, you know, the right way. The WOW plan teaches us within the first 30 days, a new person can retail 4 units or so, and that in itself is $1,000. The sponsor's 4 new people, a couple with success packs, one of them with a master pack upgrade, and a couple of people who get a presentation pack. That's about $5,000 or so, or 5,000 QV altogether. And that would equate to about $500 in bonuses for the beginning new EcoQuest business builder. So all you need to do is sit down and show them how you help them find their first 4 people and how much they'll earn from the production. It's at this point that we're going to do something that will become famous in Team Zenith. Sitting there with almost any prospect, we'll create a names list of anywhere from 15 to more than 30 prospects in about 2 minutes as we're explaining the plan. Here's how to do it. It's a little tricky to describe because I obviously draw it on paper with the prospect. But I draw them at the top. I put a circle with Bob and Mary at the top. Then 4 circles below them representing their front line. I ask them, "Who would you like to place in this critical spot? This should be someone ambitious and that's dissatisfied with their present career, someone who's active and likes new things like a new car, a new home, or likes to travel, or a good coach, or a teacher. Do you know anyone like that?" And I write that first name in that first circle. And you repeat that exercise until all 4 spots are filled. Now, folks, you're going to have to exercise some patience here because this can be like pulling teeth, but you got to stick with it. And then you ask them why they picked each person for each circle. Get them to describe that person's profession or where they live or their marital status. And then you use prompts as memory joggers. Here's an example. "Oh, you picked Mike because he's a little league coach in Miami, Florida, and he drives an old car. Do you know anyone else with kids in little league? Do you have any relatives that can play baseball? Do you know anyone who lives in a hot climate? Do you know anyone in Florida, Texas, or Georgia? Who else drives an old car that you know? Who drives the nicest car? Anyone you know drive a huge monster SUV like a Lincoln Navigator? Coaches baseball? Know any other sports coaches? Know anyone who teaches ballet or teaches school? Who are your kids' teachers?" Etc., etc., etc. I'm sure you get the idea. And what you do is you write down the side of the page the names of people they throw out, you know, to your questions. If you see them stuck on a question, you get them to move on. You want spontaneous names. And you do this with all four of their key frontline prospects. This will always give you at least 15 or more names to draw from. Then you put a check mark next to anyone on the whole list who they've talked to personally in the last 30 days. And you also put a check mark next to anyone who lives within 50 miles. These are your key people that you want to talk to first. And it, you know what, it only takes about 10 minutes to review the plan and get a short prospect list made up like this. You review the benefits of getting started correctly, including the dollar investment, and you show them your day planner and the evenings that you have open that you can invest in helping them achieve the goal that's on their refrigerator. You try to get a sense of their schedules and where that 10 hours per week is going to come from. Now you have effectively defused two potential bombs, the old classic, I don't know anybody, and the good old, I don't have any time. See, what we're going to do is we'll soon see if the goal on the refrigerator is worth fighting for. Now, after you've done that, you are now ready to deal with their questions. Learning to effectively deal with objections is an important part of this job, but hopefully you've done a solid job in pre-framing them so that 99% of their objections seem pretty small and certainly less important compared to the benefits of being involved. If you do this, you'll put yourself in a position of leverage, bringing back objections to their needs and showing how you'll help them achieve their goals is the strongest angle that you can take. It relieves you from having to defend ingredients and prices and percentages and everything else like that. Everything comes back to them. And whether or not they're willing to invest the 10 to 12 hours a week for 2 to 5 years in order to achieve their goals and dreams. Because you can prove to them, you know, that others are doing it in equal quest by following the system. Why not them with your help? I'd really make a small deal over the paperwork. When they answer questions, are you ready to go to the next step? And they say yes. I often ask the question like, "Well, the total investment to launch your EcoQuest business is to do it properly is $3,245. How would you like to cover that amounts of that nature? Is it with a check or credit card?" That's pretty much the extent of my closing. Of course, then comes the real song and dance. It's amazing how many people argue with you about every percentage in the comp plan, yet they can't fit a grand onto their credit card. If that's the case, get out the day planner. You'll quickly learn if they live up to their commitments. Realize that if they're broke, you instantly have the leverage in the upper hand, and that's when to take control. Sort out the money schedule. Sort out the hours per week. Get that list made. They are now looking for you for leadership. It's like two dogs fighting for turf. You come to their house trying to get position. They're growling. It goes back and forth. But when they roll over and show you their underbelly, they are surrendering and asking for kindness. And believe me, folks, when an adult rolls over and says they're broke, the same basic instincts at work. Never make them lose face. Just shrug off short-term cash flow challenges as a fact of life and then get a game plan made. Okay, the Get Started training, we've already been there. Don't leave the house without a follow-up Getting Started training within 48 hours. This is critical, folks. Buyer's remorse can set in. Doubts, negative spouse or friends, they can literally steal the dream out from underneath. You need to get back in there, put Band-Aids on their wounds, and get them refocused. This is an excellent time to bridge that time gap between, either with a second night package or their new business owner's manual. Make sure they get enough testimonials to reinforce what they've made, you know, that they've made a great decision. Okay, with that, I'll end tonight's session. I'm going to leave you with the thought of the week. The greatest opportunities in life often come disguised as tremendous difficulties. Seeing every difficulty as an opportunity inevitably leads to improvement and certainly raises the self-responsibility standard. The key to unleashing the unlimited potential within is self-responsibility. To do that, there can be no blame. And we will now go back to open line for questions.
All callers are unmuted.
Could you please repeat that, James?
Starting an hour ago?